Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, do you ever think we'll get around to answering the correspondence about our Prince Countdown shows?
Sure. When doves cry. Hey, Patrick, let's do a little more fan mail today, all right?
All right, yep.
But before we get to that, I feel like we should address a couple of recent passings that have taken place,
okay.
Right?
So, yeah, makes sense.
The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we haven't yet noted this, but first one I want to talk about is Mary Wilson.
Yes.
From the Supremes.
Mm-hmm. Founding member of the Supremes.
Right. So founding member, of course, and I think is fairly well-known, but maybe not, clearly not as well-known as Diana Ross, right? So
totally, yeah.
But a real contributor to the success of the Supremes, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you think of the Supremes and you think of that sound and immediately, you know, your mind goes to Diana Ross. And I think partly because she had the most successful solo career of all those people and was also an actress and, right. You know, became the face of the group. But you know a lot about Motown history. Back then, it was a girl group, right? It was all three of them coming together, and it was that blend of voices and that working together as a team and kind of all that. So I think all three of them, you know, Florence Ballard included, mm-hmm. have a lot of important integral contributions to that entire Motown legacy. So, you know, absolutely.
I think that's exactly it. I think people need to realize that that group did start out as a true singing group, vocal yeah. group that was very popular at the time. And it's just one of those cases where one member just sort of emerged and became,
yep.
you know, sort of the center of attention and then, you know, truly the like superstar, right?
Yeah. And I think even maybe the later period albums even were Diana Ross and the Supremes right. or something like that. So, yeah.
But Mary Wilson, definitely, like you said, a big contributor. She had a long, successful career herself and mm-hmm. is one of the great pioneers in R&B, I think.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, there's a book. She wrote a really interesting memoir about her time in the Supremes. I think it came out in the late 80s or early 90s, somewhere around there. But it's really good. If you can find it, pick it up. It talks a lot about what the family kind of spirit was in the early Motown. And we talked about that, you know, kids just out of high school who were just trying to make a dream happen. And it's a really nice look inside of all that.
Okay. So rest in power, Mary Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also, let's note the passing of Chick Corea.
Yes, and, absolutely.
In terms of, pioneers, this was a guy who was definitely a kind of a big star in the like 70s jazz fusion movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this has been lost over the decades, but was really a big deal at that time. I mean, that was some pretty popular music for a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting with Chick Corea because he is known as kind of this jazz fusion guy, right? And he had a band called Return to Forever that was pretty big, but his real, I think, lasting contribution was as a sideman, as a pianist with Miles Davis and, you know, that late 60s band that when Miles decided to really incorporate some of the sounds he was hearing, more R&B funk oriented and put that in, you know, Chick Corea was right there doing that. And he made the Return to Forever albums a couple of years after that. They also had like a Latin flavor to it. So that's another part of, you know, that whole jazz fusion that went on. It wasn't just necessarily jazz and funk, right? It was also, there was Latin music. I don't think hugely successful bands like Spyro Gyra or Weather Report or any of those bands would have, you know, existed without what Chick Corea did, not only as a sideman playing on Bitches Brew and all that stuff. I mean, Stanley Clark was in his band and he kind of pioneered that, you know, slap jazz yep. bass yep. kind of sound. So it was all happening there. But, you know, it wasn't like an outsized personality, right? Like Miles or Coltrane or anybody like that. He was a kind of a quiet, focused musician, sideman. Yeah, had a long and really illustrious career, played with John McLaughlin a lot. And gosh, I can't even imagine how big his discography is. It's got to be.
Well, that's
like
the thing.
And thousands.
And even after sort of the jazz fusion fell out of favor or whatever, Chick Corea still had a long career after that playing with, you said, just about everybody he played with, right? So
it's amazing. And, you know, was still putting out some solo piano stuff as recently as 2019. So, yes, definitely worth a mention, and hope he rests in power as well. He was definitely a giant in that late 60s, 1970s jazz and fusion scene.
Okay, yes, definitely rest in power. So let's move on here to, I want to get to this one piece of correspondence, okay?
Okay.
But Before that, I keep forgetting this. My apologies to our friend and loyal listener, Mike Wagner. He sent us fan mail theme music.
He did.
And I keep forgetting to play it. And this bothers me because I love the idea of having theme music for segments.
Absolutely.
And I want to play it like every time. And I'm just sometimes not on the ball. So let's play it this time. All right.
Okay, great.
Hey, Suburban Rockers, get ready. As Patrick and Jim answer your fan mail. We get to hear from peoples across the fruited plains and around the world with their comments, questions, dreams, and stories about past and future topics. And don't forget to send your own fan mail, you rockin' listeners. You can always write a letter. You could call the Suburban Party Line, toss up a quick email, or rant on an audio file and hope Matt Windler finds it. But there's absolutely one way that beats them all.
Open up the window and yell. 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 Fan mail.
It's an episode unto itself. It's got everything going on. It's awesome.
It is. It's amazing to me. So, of course, that's Echo Park Jimmy on lead vocals. Yeah. And then you also heard Jody Gersh there singing as well.
That's right.
Quite a group effort. And Mike Wagner put that together for us. And I'm so, again, apologetic that I forget it. But there we go. You heard it now. So
there it is. Boom. Lovely kind of a power pop driving beat and sound behind it. So well done, Mike.
Okay. Now, here's what I want to get to. We did a Prince countdown week a little while back.
That was fun.
And we had listeners enter their 10 favorite Prince songs. Then we compiled that into an overall top 10 countdown. And we, you know, counted down the hits, right, for a week.
Yep.
And it was really great. Great time and lots of audience engagement. It was a great time. So I just wanted to address this one email we got from David Lee in Oakland, California. And first off, I think the Prince week came maybe right after the Kiss week or right around the same time as
was,
the Kiss
week.
Yeah,
it was pretty close to the same time.
So close your ears for this, Patrick, but he starts the email by saying, Jim did come back and you did return to good taste. So there's that. And then he says, I did listen to every episode during Kiss week, parentheses painful, and Prince week, parentheses glorious.
Oh, lovely.
In my opinion, Kiss only belongs in Prince week at number three is the song, right? So, which was number three song in that
You may
countdown.
Not be alone with that sentiment.
Okay. Now, here's what I want to get to, though. This is the interesting part of the email. He says, you should add an episode of the Great Prince covers, okay?
Oh.
And so that's what we'll just do right now. So here's,
awesome.
he gave us a list, and I'll just kind of go through the list, and we'll hear little clips of each song,
Sweet.
And we'll just talk about that. Now, first caveat I want to make here is that when he talks about Prince covers, he gave us a list of nine of them that he likes, okay? And he says these are pretty much the obvious ones. But it's a little bit of a gray area on what's a cover and what's not with Prince, because a lot of times he would write a song, give it to an artist.
Yep.
That would be the first version of the song you actually heard or was released. And then maybe he would, somewhere down the line, release his own version of that song. So is that a cover then, Patrick? How do you qualify that, right?
It's close. I mean, it kind of falls into that, you know, that kind of interesting gray area, right? There are certain songs where it may be intended for that artist or may have been kind of written for him, and then it kind of mutates. And I think of like Because the Night, you know, which is a kind of a classic Springsteen song, but, you know, is Patti Smith really covering it? Or, it's interesting gray area.
So anyway, I guess what you would say here, these are either songs that other artists covered after Prince recorded them or songs that he gave to other artists and then later recorded himself. So one way or another. Anyway, songs Prince wrote recorded by other artists. Okay. So anyway, here's the list. And I don't think these are in order necessarily, but it starts off strong with Manic Monday, the Bangles.
Yes.
Right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Huge hit song, as I recall, from back in the day.
Yeah.
And he rhymed Monday with fun day. So
that's right.
Like that.
You couldn't walk down the street on a Monday without hearing that at one point. So.
this one, even bigger hit for another artist. Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
That was like 1990, something like that.
Right. Right. Amazing. And many people remember that as like her signature song, right. You know? So definitely. Yeah.
Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant. But nothing, I said nothing can take away.
Now, here's an interesting one. I had not heard this cover before.
Okay.
He suggests, well, he has the song Kiss on here twice, okay?
Okay, okay.
So, first he has that by Tom Jones and Art of Noise. Remember that?
Yep, I sure do.
And that, mm-hmm. I thought, as great as I think, Prince's Kiss is probably my favorite of his recordings. I think we talked about that in the countdown, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just is a pure, perfect single. I think it's awesome. But I gotta say that Tom Jones Art of Noise thing is really pretty cool too. What
it
they
is
did
cool.
with that.
Yeah. 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 Trevor Horn. Very clever with his signature kind of colliding beats and electronics. It's cool. Yeah.
And who would have ever thought, right?
Like right. it's a weird one.
It's definitely an interesting piece of work. But here's the one I didn't know. Did you know Kiss was also covered by Richard Thompson?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And that
I did not
feels a little unexpected.
Right.
And when you hear it, it may not be, I don't know. It's, I don't know. I'm not sure it's the right song for that particular artist, but
okay.
Interesting, you know. To
Well, and he didn't mention this one.
What is
right
that?
Right here that I'm holding in my hand. This is by the band called Age of Chance.
Age of Chance.
And they did a version of Kiss. This was a top 10 hit, I think, in the UK. And I really love this version. It kind of lands between Prince and Art of Noise and Tom Jones. But the interesting thing about this one is, I'll say this really quick, Age of Chance, they were kind of like an 80s band, and they were from somewhere in the middle of England or something like that, mid-80s, right? And they had an album, and they got invited to do a Peel session, and the Prince version was still in the charts at the time, so they thought, oh, this will be cheeky, we'll do a cover of Kiss, and they did it kind of industrial metal-ish, and it ended up getting John Peel got tons and tons of requests for it, so he would play the Peel session, and eventually it was so popular they went to the studio and recorded their own version of it. So pretty good. Check that one out.
All right, there you go. So there's three versions of Kiss.
Yeah, right
there. You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with. I just want your extra time and your kiss.
Okay, next one from David Lee is When You Were Mine by Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Lovely.
That was on her debut album.
Yeah.
And I think I probably heard that before I heard the Prince version. And I
might have.
I'd have to look at the timeline on that. Mm-hmm. I do think Prince's When You Were Mine came out before that. I think this is a cover, if I have that right. But
I think you are correct about that, because that's a pretty early...
Yeah, it is.
Prince song, yeah.
Yeah. Great song. And
totally. And that's another album you couldn't escape for a while in the mid-80s.
She's So
for sure.
Unusual was the name of that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
girls just want to have fun.
That's right.
She bop, all through the night, all those songs. Yeah.
Now, this one I know that we know, and I'm pretty sure most of our audience knows, the Hindu love gods, Raspberry Beret.
Yeah. That's a, right? That's an amazing one. Yep. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
So the story on that was the guys from REM were backing up Warren Zevon on one of his albums, on the Sentimental Hygiene album, and they were also kind of like goofing around with some cover songs, and then later released those as the Hindu love gods, including Raspberry Beret.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's a classic Zevon vocal there for sure.
I remember that came out. It seemed so unexpected. Just like, really? Like
they did this?
These kind of like, you know, rockers are going to do Raspberry Beret. It doesn't feel like that kind of song, but they really did it well, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They really did. I totally agree. They had kind of a neat backhanded feel that they got going on that for sure.
Good kind of stomp to it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. Now this one is really just kind of a bootleg. You won't find this on this official like streamings and stuff, but if you go to YouTube, you can find it. It's a live version of "I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man" by The Replacements.
Oh, so interesting.
On the internet, you'll find that, but circulating around, but not in any like official capacity.
Okay. Official release, definitely worth looking for.
Yep. And I think in typical Replacement style, it's pretty ragged and the words aren't always accurate. And
that's right. You know, we try to hit 40% of the lyrics,
but you know, from one Minneapolis artist to another,
that's there you go. Got to do it.
I Feel for You, Chaka Khan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That would be one of my favorites.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then lastly here, Patti Smith, who we mentioned before, Patti Smith did a version of When Doves Cry.
Oh, I'm not really sure if I'm totally familiar with that one. That's really neat.
Look up the year on that.
Okay. And have been a bit later in her career.
Looks like that came out in 2002.
Oh, okay. So definitely. Yeah.
Yes. It was part of a compilation, sort of like a greatest hits set that came out in 2002, and they included the previously unreleased cover of When Doves Cry on that
neat album. Fantastic.
So, yeah. All right. So there you go. I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's a great follow-up.
You know, Prince has had so many great songs that we talked about this a little bit, about how he could just sort of like give some away to other artists, even at like his peak of popularity, right?
Seriously.
And,
I know.
And they became hits for those artists, which was amazing. But then, you know, obviously he's been often covered. I'm sure you can find lots more versions of a lot of his hit songs.
Oh, yeah, I would think. I mean, you could probably find enough versions of Kiss to fill up a both sides of a tape or mixed something tape, like that. So, and a sign of, I mean, just listen to that group of artists we listed out right there. I mean, how eclectic is that? So it's not like, you know, just indie rock bands doing covers or anything like that. It's all over the map.
All over
that. Which is amazing.
That's a really good point. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the email, David.
Definitely. Thank you, David.
I think that's it for now. We'll get back to some other topics later.
Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all later.
Touch if you will, my belly. Feel how it trembles inside. You got the butterflies all tied up. Don't make me chase you. Even doves have pride. Just leave me standing. Alone in a world so cold. Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father, too old. Maybe I'm just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why must we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
I don't know where it is right now.